Well, good evening, everybody. This is Pastor Denny from Friendship Congregational Bible Church, and it is Wednesday, May 13th. Good to be with you again, and for 15 in quarantine, and we're gonna be looking at Second Thessalonians chapter 1, and more than likely finishing up chapter 1 today or tonight. So, if you want to go ahead and get your Bibles out, turn to Second Thessalonians. Chapter 1, not first. And then we'll get started here. So hopefully everyone's doing well. And just give a little, few more seconds for people to chime in here live. It's a little bit, it's cloudy today and pretty windy. But looking at the forecast, it looks like most of the lows for the evening will be in the 40s and even 50s. So I'm hoping spring is finally here and here to stay. But I'm told here that you can definitely have a frost clear up to the end of May at least. So, but hopefully spring's here to stay. So, but anyhow, I think we have a good minute has passed. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's see here. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we'll finish it up. But I want to read that whole, all the 12 verses, because we're going to refer back to some of what we did last week. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father, and of our Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all the persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Which is a manifest token, this is what we'll be looking at about tonight, these next verses, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. And that's key. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come and be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all good pleasure of his goodness, and that work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for bringing us together, and all that we'll hear later on and replay. And Lord, we just thank you for your word and how trustworthy it is, and we don't need to look to each other, but to your word first and filter everything through it, because we know that it's true. So thank you for it. And we just ask for your blessing upon your word tonight as we look at it, that you'll just allow us to grow in you and grow in your knowledge, but more importantly, to be able to be more equipped to serve you and to love others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are. We're down in verse 5 now. But I do want to bring the remembrance of what it said in verses 3 and 4. That their faith grew exceedingly, and the charity of every one of them also what toward each other aboundeth. So their love for each other was abounding, and their faith was growing exceedingly. But then Paul also says in verse 4, though, that also that the patience and faith in all of their persecutions and their tribulations, they endured them. So they endured them with that patience, that faith. And we also recalled when we looked at Romans chapter 5 and what comes out of that when you stick with the Lord and wait it out in him, the Holy Spirit will produce that love of God. He'll shed it abroad in our hearts, dump it out. So here we are, which is the manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. So this token, manifest token, a token here, and it's pretty much the same word, manifest token, it's just one word, but it's kind of like an indication, it's a proof, it's an evidence. So imagine what we've already read, especially here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when it said, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Remember in Philippians chapter 4, it says that basic outline, then the God of peace will be with you. When Paul mentions that 2 Corinthians 4, all these aspects of hurt and pains and sufferings and all these things, when you stick with the Lord, good always comes out, because we're promised that if you keep loving the Lord, all things will truly work together for good. So that's why a recipe to counteract all those ill emotions and negative feelings and things like that is to rejoice evermore, to pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks. And you saw that with these Thessalonians, because that's why he said that they had that patience and that faith in all their persecutions and tribulations. But to focus more on the persecutions, where you're actually being pursued by somebody that will, that harm and stuff, because the other things that happen in life can happen to everybody, but we as believers know that God's always working on our behalf. But persecutions, the world, the more we shine as lights, the more persecution comes to the Christian life, because the more your light shines, the more Satan sees that, and he doesn't want it to shine, because the more your light shines, the more it reveals him for who he is and the sin for what it is, and starts revealing truth into the darkness and then bringing others to the light as well. So here we see a manifest token. Imagine being that in your enemy's eyes, that no matter what they do to you, you still rejoice, you still pray, you still worship God, you still give thanks. And for various reasons, I mean, we see here the token of the righteous judgment of God. We know who's writing the final chapter. It's already been written. We can look at that, what happens at the second coming of Christ when sin's permanently dealt with, and the judgment seat that's coming. We know that's coming. It's already written. It's a guaranteed that it's coming. So in light of all those persecutions and tribulations that they were enduring, we should too, with patience and faith, and remembering Romans chapter 5 that we went over. So they were this manifest token of that righteous judgment. I believe that also came as them being that beacon of light that shared truth. They knew what's going on. So that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. So in the maturing of your faith and your love for each other, that patience and faith and persecution, you become that beacon of evidence of that righteous judgment of God. One, ye yourself inside is a token. You know what's going to happen. But you also, or that truth to everyone around you. But here we see also to be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. This doesn't mean that you work for salvation. It has nothing to do with that. But that you be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Remember in 2 Timothy 3:12, what's it say? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will what? They shall suffer persecution. Philippians 1, I'm going to turn there. Philippians chapter 1. Let's see here. Verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. So but you're pretty much, don't be afraid of your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. So again, here's a similar verse of what Paul's saying here. See, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. Well, here you are. Your conversation, as it becometh the gospel of Christ, whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing. So in no way, no shape or form, be afraid of your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. But this next verse I want to hit on. But for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. So it is true. When you live godly, you live for the Lord, that beacon of light that you, as I used the analogy in the morning service the one time, you are the temple of God, so you're going to take care of your lighthouse, so to speak. You're going to upkeep on it, make sure you're maintaining it and making sure it's working at all times and polishing the reflector inside and all that good stuff. So what? So the Holy Spirit can surely have that free course to be reflected out into the rest of the world. But when that happens, a lot of Satan doesn't like it. So persecution does come. But we're told that all, there's still good. We know the end of the story. Judgment does come. It says for God... Whoops, wrong. Yeah, get back over to 2 Thessalonians here. So seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. So stand strong, just like the Thessalonians did, because one, we know what's coming. Judgment is coming, but it's not going to come via us. It'll be come through the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we looked at last week, the grace and peace that Paul opens up with every epistle, pretty much. Why? Because we are truly in the dispensation of the grace of God. There is true grace. There is true peace coming. But one day, Christ will come in wrath and in war. There will be no grace. There will be no peace. But right now, there is that offered. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Today, we have a true ministry of reconciliation that you can go to Christ and him alone, his finished work on the cross. And all who simply believe in that finished work, then all of that whole finished work is applied to your account, and you're forever his. So, but back to this part of this verse here, that but that you be counted worthy of the kingdom of God. And it is true. When you do suffer, you do stand in the things that we do in this life, there is a righteous judgment for us as believers. When we do things for the Lord, that matters. It stands the test of time. It has eternal value and eternal worth. And one day we will stand before the Lord. And the things that we didn't do for him will be burned up. They'll be taken away. There'll be no more. And what's left? What would be left of your life to show, here's what I did for the Lord, or here's what I wanted to continue to do on my own instead? You know, we have our own judgment as well. So this doesn't mean that we are facing today the judgment of God in our lives upon mankind, nor is there any type of reason of the judgment of God in our lives. In light of the following verses, I believe this to be walking the Lord and being shining examples of the Word of God as truth, and that they will be confronted with this truth someday. And we need to remember that. Just as God now extends grace and peace, like Paul opens up with so many, we should be that beacon of life, light, when we expose darkness, like in Ephesians chapter 5. And we make manifest, we reprove, we're supposed to be walking as children of light for the purpose of exposing darkness and reproving it. And that true work comes through the Holy Spirit being able to now produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So what will be the proof of them of truth, which will be include judgment? They'll be faced with all that. So anyhow, counted worthy of the kingdom of God, again, not that all that you work for the entrance, but all that live godly, you know, you truly do produce reward. You also have an inheritance that you'll rule and reign. We think of 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. That has nothing to do with you losing salvation. It has everything to do with you and the true inheritance and rewards and things like that will be through all of eternity. We also see that as well in Ephesians chapter 5, which I'm trying to get to here. Ephesians chapter 5, when says, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger or unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And that's why Paul says to put off those works of the flesh, put off what you used to walk in. You're this new creature, you're this new man that God created, that was created in true righteousness and holiness. So he tells you to put all those things aside. That's not who you are anymore. And for us as believers, there's no inheritance in the kingdom of God. If you choose to walk in the flesh, choose to do the things of the flesh, there's no inheritance for you. There's no reward for you. Sure, there are things that we are already blessed with. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings, but there's other things that are coming, other rewards that we don't know exactly what they are. We know that reward is used and inheritance is used, but it also goes on the next verse of Ephesians 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words because of these things. So now he's flipping it back, talking about the children of wrath. Cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So those people that do those things without Christ the wrath of God still abiding and will come. So just remember that for tribulation. So seeing that is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, God will repay them for what they do. His judgment is obviously far better than our judgment. That's why God tells us not to, we're not committed to do the judgment. Christ will take care of that, and he knows how to perfectly do that. But Romans 12, 17 through 19, let me read that. Romans 12, 17, in the whole body, that wasn't the right one. Might have been 16, sorry. Let me see. Maybe I wrote it down wrong here. Just give me 1 second. I must have wrote it down wrong. Maybe it's here. Yeah, I must have wrote it down wrong here. I know it's here, but obviously in the moment I'm not going to think of it. But I do remember the verse. It says, dear beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for his vengeance, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And you know, one of the reasons why I know that, even though I can't think of the reference, is I remember being at a Wednesday night prayer meeting at a church once, and one of the leaders of the church praying. And he said, Lord, I know that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will pray, but I am your instrument. Nowhere in God's word does it say that. So that's why I wanted to bring that word up. That, you know, don't worry about that judgment. God will take care of that. There will come a time that these people will pay. They also stand before God in a judgment that's not a Bema Seat judgment. It's not a righteous judgment. It's a righteous judgment in the sense that God's judgment is righteous. But it's not in a sense of the people who have been declared righteous. So don't worry about that. But it says here, and where I want to really get to tonight, and wow, I already went a good 15 minutes. But let's just keep moving. Let's see where we go here. Seeing in verse 7, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. So it's interesting. Remember, Paul's already talked about them struggling with the fact of, we'll say, the rapture, the mystery coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he takes the church of body of Christ away. And they struggle with the fact of the tribulation and the second coming of Christ, and thinking maybe they're living in that time and they missed that resurrection. But you know what? Paul comes back around again in his second epistle, and he's going to talk about it again. Because they did. They're going through a lot of persecution they talked about in 1 Thessalonians. That's why now he moves in to verse 7 and says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. How can you rest when the whole tribulation, the second coming of Christ, is called, you know, the day of vengeance? But that's all it is, vengeance and wrath and war. That Christ comes not for in peace, he comes for war. But he says here, to you who are troubled, rest with us. Why? Because we are saved from that wrath to come. Because before that day happens, before the tribulation, the second coming of Christ happens, we are taken out of the road, the church, a body of Christ. And if we go before that day, then we're absent from this body and present with the Lord. But he says, okay, rest with us. And now he's looking to the day when these people are going to basically pay for what they've been doing to them. He says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. And let's pause again. When the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven. It's interesting because now, how was Christ revealed to the church, the body of Christ? Well, it's through the Apostle Paul. In Galatians 1, chapter 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past of the Jews' religion, how beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And when we bump, and I read a verse before, verse 12, sorry, of Galatians 1, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. So he gets information directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you get down to verse 15, it says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I confirmed not with flesh and blood. And we also see that again in that we read in 2 Timothy chapter 2 here, I think it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot. I know I have it written down here. Yeah, I think it's 2 verse 8. Remember, Paul says, 2 Timothy 2:8, that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that's also a lot different from Acts chapter 2. And Peter said, but in Acts chapter 2, Peter says that, for David speaketh, verse 25, concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice. And as he continues on, he says, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn from an oath of him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before he spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh corruption. And then he continues on, how that David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto the Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand. And he talks over and over again how that God, Peter, preached his gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to be raised from the dead to sit on David's throne. But then Paul comes along the scene and says, no, I preached the risen Lord, the seed of David, according to my gospel, the special revelation that he got. And then in Galatians, you see there was that struggle that you know, the Lord Jesus Christ revealed himself through him. And we might touch on that more later. So, but I wanted to bring that up because he shall be revealed from heaven. When the church of the body of Christ is taken out of the road, then the offer of grace, the offer of this free gift of salvation by simple faith alone, it's gone. That's over. Dispensation of the grace of God's done. Now starts back up the 70th week of Daniel, where the wrath, tribulation, second coming of Christ will happen. But you who are in trouble, rest with us. You have no part in that. But when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven now, because now when he's revealed from heaven, what happens? He'll come with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we don't need to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we obey via faith, not via action. Throughout test of time, what happened? You would see Cain and Abel, you say you have faith in me. Well, what do? You bring a proper sacrifice. Well, Cain did one thing. Abel did the right thing. All through history, you blood sacrifice, innocent animal blood. That's how you come. Even clear up to Peter, how do you show your faith? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. But when Paul came on the scene, what happened now? Well, let's read that. Now he says, but now in chapter 3, Paul says, even the righteousness of God, well, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. So it's now it's through faith. And I think I might have found the one verse I wanted to look for, so let me turn back here to Romans chapter 16, I think it is. Yeah, we'll go with this. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known unto all nations for what? The obedience of faith. So it's interesting, in the old, under the law, and even clear up what Peter preached, what? Obeying God's word. Your faith was shown through that obedience. Whereas now, Paul comes on the scene and says, now, it says that scriptures and prophet commandment of everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. And he makes known that there was one group of people that were saved through faith and saved by faith. So just wanted to point that out, because there is a difference. There's and when you see that, when you see that Paul had a special message and he's trying to get through the Thessalonians, to try to get them to see the difference here, that they truly have no part of God's wrath, God's judgment. They don't have any part of the tribulation, the second coming of Christ. He mentioned it before, now he's going in again, and he uses these words, making that distinction, and you who are troubled, rest with us. So yeah, don't worry about that. But when Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in a much different way than what he's was now revealed through the Apostle Paul, through his mighty angels, flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's other times in the tribulation, like the mark of the beast. You take the mark of the beast, doesn't matter. You're done. So there is direct obedience by your actions will determine your faith. There'd be a lot of that. So who shall punish? He goes on, when Christ comes back, you shall punish with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. This is a punishment that will truly be everlasting destruction. And it will also be not in the presence of God, because God has a place, hell, that will punish sin, a place of utter darkness. Why is it utter darkness? Not because he didn't put a light there, because there will be no presence of the Lord in this everlasting judgment. So there will be no light, but that will be forever. When he shall come and be glorified in his saints and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This is an interesting verse, and we don't have time to go over that because we went real far over time, but I want to finish up this chapter. But the church of the body of Christ, we are seated in the heavenlies. And that's where we'll be for all of eternity. That's where God will also shower all his blessings, his grace to us to the ages that will come. Let me just quote it because I'm butchering it up here. In the ages to come, he might show exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse before it, has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we do know that the fullness of him is what? It's the church of body of Christ, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. One day, when Christ does come in judgment and sets up that kingdom, we will be on display in the heavenlies. We will be out there as a trophy of grace for people to see that, wow, look what God did in the heavens. Look what he's been done up there. So he says, when he shall come and be glorified in his saints, he's back here talking now to believers today. To be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. So in that day, we will be this glory. This will be this show of the Lord Jesus Christ. That look at the body of Christ. And now, it's just going to be interesting. But so wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of his calling. Sunday mornings we've been looking at this, that we've been called. We have our own calling as well as individuals. Ephesians 4, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And he talks about how to do that. And part of that calling that everyone has is to do it with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, and also endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in a bond of peace. So God, part of our calling that we all have includes what Ephesians 4 says, the unity of the Spirit that he established. And now we are to keep it, which is that one body, church of body of Christ, that one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that you're called in the hope of your calling, that one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, fully God yet fully man, that one faith, which I believe is the whole new revelation of what Paul talks about in chapter 3, that one baptism, that spirit baptism that's talked about in Colossians 2, 1 Corinthians 12, the Romans chapter 6, that one spiritual baptism that God, by the faith and operation of God, identified you in the church body of Christ. And then obviously the one God and Father of all. So, therefore, where was I at? Wherefore also we pray always for you, for our God will count you worthy of this calling. So don't mind they were going through a lot of persecution. Here in America, do we suffer tribulations and stresses and all these things? Absolutely. Persecutions, yes, compared to the rest of the world. It's on a different level, in my opinion, than the rest of the world. But it does happen, and it can very well come in full force here if we don't continue to stand for the God's word and be who we need to be. I get tired of hearing Christians say, it's only going to get worse. No, it's not. It's only going to get worse if we, the body of Christ, stop doing stuff and become Christian couch potatoes. If that happens, yes, it's only going to get worse. But if you fight like these guys, because Paul made mention of them, how they stood firm in the faith despite all these persecutions and stuff going on. And yeah, things came at them. But Paul here again reminded them of their day's coming. Remember us, we have a calling. God's willing to work through us. Paul calls us living epistles. God's word says that we have this treasure hidden in these earthen vessels. We are in charge. God wants to use us by living that life, that sanctified life, allowing the Holy Spirit to produce in everyone around us, including you. So be worthy of this calling. Fulfill all the good pleasures of this goodness, because that's what's going to happen. The work and the of faith and with power, when you decide you're going to walk in the Lord, walk in love, that we've been looking at in Ephesians in morning services, the Holy Spirit does produce. You will walk worthy. You won't be like the rest of the world. You will be a true beacon of light that will draw the attention of Satan, will draw the attention of the rest of the world, because when your light shines bright, what happens? They want to get rid of it. They don't want to be exposed. So walk worthy, keep walking worthy, and when persecution comes, that's how, your way of knowing that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, is working in people's lives all around you. Evil doesn't like it. It's trying to shut you up, so you're doing a good job. Kind of like the saying goes that I hear many parents over the years say, well, if your kids don't say I hate you every now and again, then you're not doing your job as a parent. But anyhow, I don't think that quite correlates to say what was going on, but that at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and that ye in him, according to the grace of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So just stay strong. Again, we're going to go through this. I was expecting to go through it a little faster and then come back and look at the second coming of Christ in more detail, but hey, we went 30 minutes tonight. Oh well. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll see each other Friday. Lord, thank you again for your word and all that it's in it. And Lord, sometimes things don't go as planned, and we get caught up in it, which is good. And Lord, when we do take those times for you alone and look to you, whether it's in prayer, whether it's in your word, or just going out for a walk to ponder the things that you're doing in our life, whatever it may be, Lord, it's so easy to get carried away with you whenever we take the time to build our relationship with you. So Lord, thank you for it. Thank you for that the Holy Spirit truly does witness with our spirit that we are a child of God. Lord, that your Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit when we decide to walk by faith and not by sight, to walk through these tribulations, these stresses, all these heartaches and things going on right now in this world. When we step out in faith and look to you, put you first, the Holy Spirit truly does produce in our life and reveals you, and we truly know you are there. So thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, till next time. A little different tonight, but that's the way it is. So you guys take care, and we'll see you then. God bless.